Right. This thing I must lift up a bit. That's made for short people, man. Aha. Aha. This is church, guys. This is what it's all about. Amen. Is there a Sandra in the house? Sandra. Cindy. Do we have a Sandra in the house? Sandra? Perhaps next week. Last week I had a word of knowledge, and I'm not going to leave it. There was somebody who had a dream about walls, and these walls, they've been coming up against the walls, and they're not breaking through. And they've tried around the sides, around the top, underneath, and everything. And I've got a word for you, if that's you. If it's not you, then it's somebody else. Has anybody got that feeling about walls and not being able to break through? Mm-hmm. Right. We'll get there. Very quiet in this Presbyterian church. Apostles and prophets we're going to speak about here this evening. I'm going to give you a couple of pointers towards them. I've also got notes, and that I'm going to give you a bit later, but we'll get there. I don't want you to look at them right now, but we're just going to look at a couple of principles quickly, a couple of notes, and the notes are also going to prepare you for next week, but I'll tell you about that as we go along. Ephesians 2:20, you are built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So he is a cornerstone in your heart. He is the chief one. He is the one we're about. When we come together like this, it's not about me, it's not about anybody else, it's all about him. And we mustn't lose sight of that. And you know, so many times we get caught up in the cares and the worries of the world and the wisdom of the world and all that sort of thing. And we need to put that aside. We need to take on the wisdom of God and realize that we are an anointed people, a people with a message, a people with a presence. And that presence is the Lord Jesus Christ. I like Bill Johnson, what he says. You know, we're so filled with the kingdom of God, it's got to find a way out. And we need to start leaking, and we need to start leaking good and or wherever we go. When we leave here again, it's no good coming to another message. Many of you are so full with the word, you need to start exercising that word and start releasing that word into other people's lives. Were you guys blessed here just to have a word from your neighbor now? One or two, yeah, come on. I thought the whole house would come across. Yeah, cropper, man, that's what it's about. You see, it's all very well having a word here. We need to have a word when we leave here. There are people out there that are dying, that are waiting for the word that you've got. And the apostolic and the prophetic is to put that foundation in you that you go out there. It's not here where it's going to happen. It's out in the marketplace. It's marketplace where you need to be. I was so impressed what's your name again? Justin, James took out the youth at times to the pavilion and to places like that, and they went and expressed their faith and expressed the words they had in their heart. And that's what we've got to do all the time. We've got to prepare ourselves, and this is what it's about. I believe the prophetic is to stir you up to go and do the job, is to take the word and put feet to those words, that you might go out and do it with confidence. Because you know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords rests in your heart. And that's why I said it's all about him. I have the privilege in the start of this church to be part of this church many, many years ago. We came in apostolically and prophetically, Donnie from Mule and myself from Richards Bay, and we came and prophesied. I think Dave still got some of the prophecies over those times. But that's water under the bridge many years ago. Everything is happening. God's word is coming alive. What God said then and what God's continually saying is happening all the time. He's building up his body. He's building up his body. And there's the apostolic and prophetic ministries, if you want to call them that, are very, very important. But they're built on Jesus Christ. Guys, if there's any other foundation, don't go anywhere near it. Don't go anywhere. You know that, but it's good to hear that again. Especially with the voices that are crying at us right now. Do you know, even like with the elections coming up, My heart has been praying, say, Lord, I'm not praying for the political parties. I'm praying for every Christian in this country that they will hear from you and hear from you what they must do. Now, the statistics tell us there's 70 to 80% of South Africa Christians. If that is true, there is a power and an anointing in this land to break through and to break through into the rest of the world. And let me prophesy over you, times are going to get worse. I'll give it to you in writing. It's going to get worse. You think that plane that went missing is over the sea. We're going to have weird things happening, and they're already starting to happen, guys. Prepare your minds for action. This is what the prophetic does, is prepare your heart. You don't look at that, you look at Him. Your security is in Jesus Christ and no one else. He is the chief foundation stone, and that's where we aim in, and that's what we're here for. We go to Dad in the power and anointing of, in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. He is the power. We sang about it here. And you know, where there's a prophetic ministry, there's always fire. There's always sacrifice. And in the Old Testament, when you saw their sacrifice, there was always fire and lightning and all that sort of thing. Guys, come on. We have it within us. We need to let this, let this river flow. We need to unblock these wells of salvation. And I think the church for far too long has been blocking them with all sorts of teachings and laws and everything. What a freedom we have with a grace message to go out and just be real with people. Real with people. Guys, you know, people are crying out there for you. Where would you find Jesus today? You'd find Him in the pubs. You'll find Him with friends of prostitutes. You'll find Him with friends of thieves and all those sort of guys. And you and I get so spooky spiritual sometimes. We get so full of ourselves, we will not reach out and touch those people around us. And they need it more than anybody else. Guys, we are so privileged. Every single one of you sitting here tonight, you are such a privileged people. And we need to realize and not lose sight of that. Amen. You still love me? Cool. God is calling His apostolic men and commissioning them with special tasks and preparing them for end time tasks. When I see Rob, and please, you must just hear my heart when it comes to people. I really believe what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 about, you know, this one says, I'm of Paul, I'm of this, and I'm of that. And he goes on further, and you can read that, the whole story yourself. He says, we don't put man on pedestal. We put Jesus Christ on a pedestal. God uses those men, and God uses that apostolic office to break through. And that's what He's doing with Rob. And Rob will say the exact same. I've heard him say that himself. He doesn't want anything pointed at him. He wants everything pointed at Jesus. And I'll say the same, and any guys in the ministry, all of us here know that. And so that's what it's all about. So you've got mighty men out there that God has commissioned to do a task, the end time task, and this is going to be a wave of joy and a wave of holiness the world has never seen. Not a religious holiness, but a real, real relationship with Dad. Amen. And one of my things, wherever I go, I say the chiefest thing you can do every single day, sit on Daddy's knee, lean upon his chest and hear his heartbeat. When I say to people, you don't have to do a thing, they look at me, oh, oh. You mean I don't have to walk up the steps of my knee and do 100, I better not say about other people. I'm not here to point to other people, but you hear where I'm going. And guys, we all come from a religious background somewhere. Kill that demon. Kill it. At 320 AD, the devil joined the church. And he brought in religion. And he brought in, emphasized the law. We cannot mix grace and law together. We cannot mix it, guys. There is a freedom in grace. And it's not a freedom to do what you want to do. Because the Corinthian church, oh, we have freedom to go and do all these sexual things. We have freedom to do this. Aye, corner. You have freedom to do the word. If you take that, that's going to be a total bondage in your own life. Hey? We've got to be so careful. We've got to pick up God's prophetic word. And the people, the apostles that He put before us, Paul, he just had such a word. He was such, I can't wait to meet the guy. I want to clap him with some of the things he said, but the rest are going to love him anyway. Right. These tasks are deeply embedded in the heart of the church by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Right now, sitting in this room right now, is an apostolic vision that God has placed in your heart because you are part of the church. And God brings an apostle to bring it out. And people sense that, look at that, and respond to that, and move out with that. Okay? The Holy Apostolic Commission out of Genesis 12 is still relevant to go and bless the nations. And to the nations, we must go. We are not called to sit on our blessed assurance and sing those little songs every Sunday. And, whoa, this is just so good. I'm part of a church. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. No. What are you doing for Him? You need to be touching the lives of people. I see guys get so spooky about all sorts of things. It drives me up the wall. You know, the word says so clearly to us, you don't have to go anywhere. God is within you. And everything you need is within you. Don't go and chase those things. I've seen the devil hijack people with all sorts of theories. I mean, I better not get into those because it could start things here. But when the oaks argue about creation, then they argue about this. And so much energy of the church is put into things that are irrelevant. I'd rather teach you to have faith to overcome today and tomorrow until He comes. Huh? That's more important to me than anything else. Anything else. And all these other acts come with these things. Anyway, I mustn't get off it. I've got a lot to get through, and I've only got 5 minutes. And God is placing strong apostolic leaders in the nations to go. The whole word in your heart is to go. And may I say to you, us young Okies that are here tonight, that go goes for you as well. It's not to go and sit in front of the TV and just sit there and watch TV. It's to go, get off your blessed assurance and do something about what's happening around. And you say, well, I'm getting old, I can't do things. Well, there is something you can do. You can pray. I mean, you know, don't come that one with me. You know, anyway, we must just get there. Okay? He's placing in the nations to go. He's also placed prophets alongside to prepare the way and support the apostolic work. And I'll tell you, we'll look at that a bit further on whatever it is. If the apostle is a wise master builder, 1 Corinthians 3:10, then the prophet's job is to clear away the rubble of opposition. And that's what it does. The office comes along and deals with those issues. And you know, sometimes I even see that with people, how people react to me. Before I know what I'm doing, sometimes I'm saying things to people and I realize it's challenging the status quo. And remember what I said last time we got together? God challenges the mind to reveal what's in the heart. Huh? And that thing that springs out, you know, when you're under pressure and everything is coming at you, that little thing that screams out there, you know, that's the one you've got to deal with. You're with me with that one. And with all of us, we've got to deal with those things. It's not about us. Huh? Clear away the rubble, the apathy, the complacency and fear. Then stir up the heart of people to work. I find that very much in my preach wherever I go. Stir up the guys. Come on, guys. Get going out there. Get going. My ministry is to the church, not to the unsaved. Yes, but the word also tells me I have to do the work of the evangelist. So when I can, I share the gospel. You know, we went out for a life group meeting this weekend, had a lovely time out in the Berg. And you know what? We had three people who don't come to our church come along and join us for supper last night with the prayer, with the teaching, with the everything there last night. And we just made a way. We welcomed them. We made them feel at home. We weren't religious about it. We didn't preach to them anything. I just said to them, guys, this is what we're doing. You're welcome to come and join us and come and have supper with us, etc., etc. Guys, we need to be ready in every instant. And the last place I thought in my understanding that we'll have guys that, you know, up there that would come with us. So we've got to be ready all the time. In season and out of season, the word says. The prophet is God's motivator. If the apostle provides the design and instruction and infrastructure, then the prophet touches people's wound by bringing vision, provoking action, encouraging enthusiasm, and awakening awareness of the action and direction in God in believers' lives. Last week I touched that. Lifestyle. Your prophetic, the prophetic has got to be a lifestyle. You've got to realize who you are in Christ. We talk about understanding the complete work of the cross. Start at redemption. Look at your redemption. Look how Christ has set you free. When you see and have a vision of redemption, you cannot stay the same. Because in His redemption, you've been set free. His blood has come to set you free. And not only you, but the whole of South Africa, Africa, and the world. And that's why He says to the nations, we need to go. We have a message, God. We have the most positive message in this world today. Now, why are we arguing about it? And say, oh, well, I hear, oh, well, what about this? What about it? I mean, either he's bigger than your problem or he's not. Greater is He that's within you than he that is in the world. Now, the church needs to start believing that, needs to start walking in that, and needs to start ministering out of that position. Not a position of weakness, but a position of, we sang about it. Oh, so lucky to sing, woo, God's power, all that. Come on. It's when you walk out that door, where's that power gone? Huh? Yeah. Becoming a prophetic voice of the community, 1 Corinthians 4, 7 to 8. I love the message. To me, the message is a prophetic word. They're just putting in nice daily terms to us. I thought I had it there. What did I do with it? Anyway, what is it? You can read it yourself later. That's not important right now. I just want to get through a couple of principles. What is a prophetic voice? It is all the church must be to the community. Remember I said that last week. You, by the very fact that you're saying you're a Christian, you are being prophetic. You're a person with a message. You're a person with the power of God resting in your heart. And like Bill Johnson says, it must find a way out. Now you need to lean upon the Holy Spirit and allow Him to guide you and to lead you into all truth. Lead you and show you what you should be doing every day. It's nice to come and receive words here, but I always challenge people, do you want a word from the Lord, or must I teach you how to go and give a word? It's better to give than to receive. And what happens to Christians? We get like the rest of the world here with our plastic. Like we want a quick word. We want a quick summing. No, 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 no. You need to be sitting on His knee. The more you give out, the more the Lord's going to give back to you. And if you haven't had a prophetic word, when last did you go and give a prophetic word? And that's why I got you to do what you did right in the beginning here. It's better to give than to receive. And you received as well. Look, please hear me. Hear me where I'm going on that. By its very presence, it is a prophetic voice. By its very stance, it is a prophetic standard challenging the status quo all the time. This church, I believe, is challenging the status quo where we are right now. There are many people who have spoken many things that have happened over this church. And may I say to you that on about three occasions, people have come up to me and said, you know, what are you doing still over at that church? I said, having a jaw. What about you? You know? And a guy who I thought was a friend said to me, I will never have you come and minister in my church while you're part of this church. I said, cheers, mate. Huh? Cheers. Nice knowing you. I thought you were a friend. Yeah? You see, we got to realize where we're at. We got to realize that if we make a stance, that stance is going to be challenged. You need to take a step of faith. You need to believe that where you are is where God wants you to be. Huh? Anyway. I could go on to that one quite a bit. There's a great cost involved attaching yourself to a body. This is what I was saying, okay? There's a great cost to the body that is prepared to be a prophetic voice. This church is prepared to be a prophetic voice. This church opened the way for grace where everybody else, let me tell you, everybody else, and Steve's not here, but I tell you, he was a brave, brave man. And when you see him, call him Sparky, because I had a prophetic word last week of him. He's a spark out there, he and Janet. Oh, Janet's here. Hi, Janet. I did say hello to you. But call him Sparky, man. I just saw the spark going out. I mean, you've got to be red hot and on fire to do what he did. Come on, guys. Come on. And now what's happening now? Now we're getting behind that vision. And now we're seeing that vision go out and touching the nations. Already we're hearing of amazing stories. It says, but there's also a reward by doing what the prophetic says. Okay? We have the prophetic voice made more sure. And that's what the prophetic ministry does. And there is reward. As you receive the prophetic word, as you receive this now, and you say yes to, not to Bill, as you say yes to what God is doing in your heart, God will reward that as you step out. And I'm telling you now, that if you make a yes now, because everything is yes and amen in Christ Jesus, when you walk out that door, your life will not be the same. I prophesy that over you. I speak it over you. You will not be the same because the Spirit of God will stir you up, will not give you rest. Because if you're serious about Him, He will help you. He will guide you. He'll take you into all truth. He will lead you into those paths. And it doesn't matter if there's big mountains, small mountains, whatever the case may be, He is with you to take you through. There's no problem that is represented here tonight that is bigger than Jesus Christ. Now, we know that. But we need to start moving in that revelation. Amen. You got it. We have observed and felt that the church has been prepared to be a prophetic voice. But fear, doubt, reputations online. Are we holding back? Are you holding back? What are they going to say at work? When I came back from Zimbabwe, When I went to my first way back from Zimbabwe and then Rhodesia, I went to Richards Bay. And my first job I got was at the coal terminal. There were two Christians that were on the workbench for 10 years, working right next to each other, and they didn't even know they were Christians. So yours faithfully got them off their blessed assurance and let everybody know, and they were highly embarrassed. I said, it was one way to get you going. Huh? Either this Jesus is real or he's not real. Look, when we're out there, we need wisdom, and he gives us wisdom to deal with people. I'm against all these, I always call them the spooky spiritual, walking around, floating on a cloud, always got this. And you know, they switch off so many people because they're not moving in reality. Some of these people are actually demon controlled. Excuse me saying that, I've seen it. A religious spirit that came into the church at 320 AD, they still move in that. Instead of moving in the reality, instead of building up relationship, guys, that's what it's all about. Building up relationship, earning the right to speak into people's lives. How often do I see guys, Christians as Muslims? I've done it. So you're Muslim. No. Come on. If we're going to do that, when are they going to hear the gospel? If you don't just step across the line and make friends with those people and earn the right to speak into their lives, they're waiting for you. They're waiting for. And you know, the Christians have been so dead that the Holy Spirit is moving in anyway. I can give you story after story after story of what's happening in North Africa as the Lord himself has visited mullahs himself and led them to him. That's the only way to put it. You know, you get all these things. Come on, guys, we need to get out and do the job. And that's what I'm here to do, is to stir you up. There needs to be repentance. Repentance needs to be a lifestyle. You know, we confess we are the righteous of God in Christ, gee, as we are. What a revelation. Then I say to guys, oh, I'm a righteous. Cool, if you're righteous, are you doing right things? If you confess it, you must be doing right things. What's the best right thing you can do? Build your relationship up with the Lord. Simple as that. Sorry, I've been accused of oversimplifying these things, but let's get back to brass tacks. Let's get back to what we should be doing. And the right person builds up this relationship and gets on the day, says, Dad, what do you want me to do today? I want to go out there, go and visit that. There's a word in your heart. You read the word? You've got a word. You know, there are so many people that don't have a daily reading. They say, I don't have a word. Well, I have a word every single day because I read the word every single day, guys. I'm just giving you little practicalities that we need to be into. Some of you are feeling very, very convicted right now. Holy Spirit, clap them. Okay, you're with me on that one, but you know, we can joke about it, but it's so simple, we complicate the issue. Okay, wrong attitudes towards God wants to do in our midst. There's a cost involved. Are you prepared to pay it? Jesus was, and he paid with his life. The cross is a prophetic statement, the strongest prophetic statement this world has ever seen, the cross of Calvary. And it's not 2,000 years ago, it's not in the future, it's in the here and now. All the power of heaven is ready to burst through you right now. All the miracles that are spoken about, and we're going to look at those things, are ready right now. Next week, you're going to see some of those things, I'm going to stir you up in some of those things. It's ready right now to be released through you. You've got to take the step of faith. I can't do it for you. And if you believe the Lord is saying it, you've got a lot to do. The prophetic always reveals God in his holiness, which is a challenge to change and make a radical decision. It reveals his viewpoint and his heart. And you see, that's the whole thing. He says, be still and know that I am God. And we shout and scream. We've got all these problems. You know, in Ezekiel 13, I haven't got time to go there, just to give you the principle quickly. If you go to the prophet with idols in your heart, God will answer you according to the multitude of idols in your heart. In other words, if you're sitting with problems and deaths and all these sort of things, and they're all over here, and you go to God, all you're going to see is that, the Mercedes-Benz and all those things that you're desiring. You hear what I'm saying? When these things become idols, what we got to do when we go to the Lord? We separate ourselves from that. That's all that worldly stuff. And be careful of separating the two. That's asceticism. We're not in that. You made a body, soul, and spirit. You're one person. So take hold of your mind. Say, no ways I'm going to do this. I want you, Lord. And get into a position where you can hear him. And you can hear him 24/7. And time permitting, in the next couple of days, I'm going to give you a couple of pointers of how to find him like that as well. Okay. Are you still with me? prophetic voice. There's a couple of scriptures there. The first three are from the Message Bible. Sorry. But the first one there, well, look at the bottom. You can read the scriptures. Do not despise the prophetic. A lot of people turn their backs on the prophetic. When you hear a prophetic word, when you realize that all that is happening around you is prophetic, when Steve brings a word on a Sunday morning, that is prophetic, guys. The Holy Spirit is getting your attention. He brought you there to give you that word so you can do something about it. Not go and have lunch and speak about the pastor at lunch and carve him up. God has not called you to do that. God has called you to take that word and to meditate on that word and to find a way to express that word that you received that morning. Amen. That's what it's all about. And that's that a prophetic person is always doing that. So don't despise it. The prophetic words that come out, we mustn't despise. We must listen. Already, the Holy Spirit has spoken to us here this evening about the word, the power of the word. Accept and receive a prophet. And I'm not saying you must accept and receive me. You've got to do what the word says, not what Bill Brain says. Okay? And then Luke 24, 25, 7, don't be slow in receiving. Hey, don't be slow. Prepare your heart for action. Just go for it all the time. And the last one, believe God's prophets. Don't suppress the Spirit. That's what it says on that side. We walk intimately linked to His harvest work, and you can read the rest there. And then He said to them, you thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe that the prophets have said? Come on, why can't you simply believe what Jesus has said to us? And that's where the power is. That word will break through. And then the last one, they believe in the Lord God and you will be stand firm. Believe in His prophets and you will succeed. Some people put prosperity, or some translations put prosperity. I'm a bit reluctant to do it in light of what has all been said about prosperity. It's our souls that need to prosper. As our souls prosper with God, He adds back, pressed down and running over. It's not about what we want. And just as a word of testimony, I've got to say this. I get back and God bless you, put $1,000 into my account today, yesterday. And I don't know who God bless you is. If you're sitting here, God bless you anyway. And may you have 10,000, or may you have 1,000,000. Give me your tithe on 1,000,000 will be cool. Then we can, or what, I'm just joking, but you hear what I'm saying. And I didn't ask for that. That's a bonseller. Huh? That's just a gift from God. He just loves us so much. He cares for us and looks after us and all that. Okay, that's quite cool, I thought. The prophet's heart. Now, Anne, would you mind handing out the notes? And when I say open the notes, then you open them. Don't read them while I'm speaking, please. If someone can help you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's quite warm in this church, eh? The prophet's heart, see the value, just take the notes, listen to what I'm saying, and then I'm going to go back to the notes and show you what we're going to do on that. The prophet's heart, see the value of each person he ministers to as a father would his own children. I really believe, it's like if I come and minister here, I've got to see you as God's children, as dad's kids. And He's intimately involved with each one of you. He loves you. He cares for you. He only wants the best for you. And you know, when we start putting over those glasses on and we start being in the Word, we see all these things that God has for us. It then makes it easy to speak God's goodness over people. And that's why I asked you to do what you did earlier on. Guys, if you're a husband and wife, could you just take one if you don't mind? And if anybody hasn't got, has everybody got notes? And I want to keep some for next week for... So husband and wife, you can have one set or one couple or whatever the case may be. Everybody got? Right. Genuine mercy and apathy with all mankind in their struggle to get out of bondage, the bondage of the evil one has placed them in. Guys, that's what we've got to realize. We've got to have empathy with the people out there. You know, when you see that beggar at the robot. I look at these guys, you know, it just breaks my heart. You see some of these young men. The other day I saw three women beggars, you know, walking around the road, totally despondent, no life in their eyes whatsoever. Hey? And I mean, that's what the devil has done. That's the devil's handiwork. And we need to find a way to reach those people. Amen. And you see, we can't go through life and not look at the poor and look at the needy. Just as a way of testimony with our life group, since we've got involved with the orphans and widows in Inqualini Valley, it's been absolutely amazing what has happened and the change and the dynamics of the cell the life group has changed. Not because of me, because they have a heart to see that these little kiddies have toys, have little kiddies have food, have whatever the case may be. And you were part of it last year as you gave into it. You were part of it. And what we sow, we will reap. And you know, I've seen it before. When I ran the church in Melmoth, we started feeding the down and outs on the rubbish dumps and the people that were on the rubbish dumps. Out of that, when people heard, not a cent came from the church. People nearly killed themselves to give us stoves and fridges and food. We had so much. Really, they wanted to outdo each other. Not only the people, the local supermarkets and everything. As a result of that, Tubuleto Junior School was started in Melmoth. And that was, and it wasn't me. It was one lady that came up to me and said to me, "Man, I really feel that we need to go and do this." I said, "My sister, listen, if God is speaking, I'm right behind you. The first time you go, take me with." She said, "Come and tell me every week what's going on." And I was just amazed. And you know, they went out there with food. They took enough food for 30. There was 300 there. Guess what happened? The food was multiplied. In Des Moines, when we went out and we helped, we rebuilt 39 houses. And we rented a huge warehouse. We got all the food from all over the place. We also went out to give food to 300, and there was something like 5,000 people there. And we didn't only have food. We had clothes. We had utensils and everything. And I just said, "Guys, give what you can." You know that when everybody left, we had stuff left over. And guys, I'm telling you now, I don't want to, that the Lord moves. When we move for Him, when we do what He wants, He takes care. You don't have to do it yourself. It's His business. Just get in the way of the Holy Spirit. That's all you got to do. Get in His way. And as you get into His way, He will do it. As a prophetic people, we need to do. And then obviously we need to love with Father's love. Come on. That needs to ooze out of every pore. All the time. All the time. Love our neighbors. We know I don't need to tell. Encourage, exhort, and edify us. That's what it used to be. You know, I went and ran a church years ago up in Limpopo province. It doesn't matter where it is. And after 2 years, I left there with my tail between my legs. Because I went in there and I listened to what people said, that when you go and take a church, you must take the checkbook, you must do this and everything. And I told the people, shape up or ship out. Now, God's man of the hour with the power, with the anointing, with the everything, with that, with, and the with, and the with. And I left with nothing. My late wife, I believe today, died of a broken heart because of what happened there. I nearly lost my kids. We lost everything. And I'm not giving you stories away. Please hear my heart here. It was a vital lesson in my faith walk. And what I realized I didn't do, I didn't listen to Dad. I listened to my own understanding, my own wisdom. And there's a lovely Afrikaans saying, and I don't know if I should say it here, "Jy sou jou agterin sien sonder 'n spieël," but that's, you can translate that in any way you want to. And that's what happened to me, guys. And it's been one step at a time. And that I need to just emphasize that came out through the prophetic last week, was it, or the week after? It's one step at a time. Just be patient. God is busy with you. I mean, you know, I've known the Lord for 41 years, and I can say it's one step at a time. I don't know everything. We've got to remain teachable, flexible, and open to the Holy Spirit in all that we do. Okay. He disciplines and corrects out of a heart of love when needed. I didn't discipline and correct out of a heart of love. I was a God's man. I was going to make a change. Look what happened. Taking every consideration of the other person's feelings. Really feel for other people. I have a problem with that sometimes, because sometimes the prophetic, you see a person's heart and you want to react to that. Instead of, like I said earlier on, first building relationship and earning the right to do it. There was a guy with a problem once, and I said, "Lord, I want to do it differently." And I built up relationship with him, and then came around to me. He says, "If you have a problem with a brother, you speak to him about it." But I said, "Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. I need your insight." And I sat there. We had tea. We joked. We did everything. And then I brought the problem up and said, "What do you think of that?" He said, "Oh, no, that doesn't look right." You know, he saw it. And my favorite story, which I'm hoping to bring to you, and it's a nice one for you to read, how Jesus approached the woman at the well. He was the most perfect prophet you would ever find. And what did he do? Did he challenge her? He created the right atmosphere. He created the right atmosphere for her to make up her own mind that she needs to change. Okay? We're sitting in a right atmosphere now. We can joke and everything, but in the joking, the Holy Spirit's getting to you as well. This is ideal. But out there, you've got to go and create the right atmosphere. Be wise. Hey? The wisdom of God. You know, Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. We see that in 1 Corinthians 1. And then, thus the prophet must be an example of the very breath of Father as he ministers. All the time, the breath of Father. It's the Father heart of God, okay? Be humble enough to know that he's also in constant need of Father's love in every area of his life. Well, I don't know about you, but in light of all that I've been through and all that I know today, even more so today, I realize I've got to hit the deck all the time. I can do nothing without him. Guys, nothing without him. Hear me. Nothing without him. So, will you call to this accord? It's nothing. You know, first and foremost, we've got to be shepherds before we even look at those ministries. We've got to be a shepherd of the flock. We've got to be attendants to the bride. We've got to look after each other. And we've got to go for it. Cause others to love Dad more. Is what you're doing causing others to love Dad more? And that's what we're going to do. Now, let me take you through. Go to page 2. This is over the page. Look, some of the stuff I'm not going to be over. I've put a lot of information in there for you to go and read by yourself as well. And as we go along, I'll pick stuff out and emphasize stuff for you and all that sort of thing. If you look at the prophet Jeremiah's insight into the Father heart of God, now that's your homework for the week. And you're going to write a test. If you fail it, we're going to have to, kick you out the church. Now, you go and do it and go and read the scriptures yourself and see what the Holy Spirit says to you. Okay. That was the old bull, the old one, you know, to say, you will do it. If you don't do it, pass up. The shame back will come out. There we have the scriptures. Go and read those scriptures for yourself. We have, times against us to do that here tonight. But, you know, Father's thoughts towards us. Jeremiah 30, hope from the Father's heart towards all his prophets. Jeremiah 30, verse 3, the Father's heart drawing all. And then we go, Father's goodness, the Father's encouragement and consolation. He is our Father and we are his children. Nothing too hard for our Father. 32, our Father will answer when we cry. And Jeremiah 33, health and healing is with our Father. And I put that in there because Jeremiah was a prophet of judgment. Okay? And when you look at the story of Jeremiah, you see the Father heart of God coming through this prophet of judgment. But then you take this story right through Calvary and you just see the heart of the Father pulsating through that. So I've left that for you to go and do your own devotions over it. Take one a day and just go and read it from now on. And say, right, Holy Spirit, help me to do it. There you are. Then you'll have a word to go and share for that day. Go and clap somebody who's not expecting it with something good. Okay. So that's it. And with the prophetic, it's continual action. There's a momentum. There's a momentum in this church. I don't know if you've seen it. Pick up that momentum. Pick up the order that God is bringing into this church. You know, where there's grace, there's order in grace. There's God's order in grace. And that's why I tackled the freedom. We have freedom in grace, but not freedom to go and do like the guys did in the Corinthian church. And Paul had to address it. Say, guys, Hokoyo, as they say in Zimbabwe. Watch out. That snake will bite you. Hey? It's a freedom in him. And let him guide you. And that's why, the word tells us that we need to become like a little child. And guys, us mana, we don't cry in front of our horses. Eh? We don't cry in front of the horses. Guys, we need to get down, we need to realize who we are, and we need to be those little children with our dad. And when I say to you, go and sit on his knee, God's given you an imagination. And I often sit on his knee. I've even had tea with him out in the back garden. And he's been with me in so many ways. And we got to create. Our God is a creative God. He's busy creating so much in our lives. Whoosh. Whoosh. This thing. Can I throw it out the window? Let me go through this quickly, and then we'll see what happens. Always advancing, step forward and up all the time. go by what God is saying, not by what man or you are saying. What is God saying in this situation? And hopefully I'm gonna tackle these issues a bit later on. From the place of glory. They say, oh, where is the glory? The glory is resting in your heart. And when I see you, I see the glory of God. You don't have to go too far to see the glory. Amen? Thank you. Positive and joyful stance. You know, when you look at some Christians, they look as if they've been baptized in lemon juice. Hey, how do you expect to touch the world when you look like worse than the world? Huh? When you look as if you've got the whole world on your shoulders. Hey? Come on. Come on. I'm telling you, we need to get away from that. I remember years ago, I went to a conference at Rhema in Johannesburg, and all the guys got there. And I can't remember who it was, but some guy got up and he prophesied. And he prophesied waves that are coming over South Africa. And I'm talking, 25 odd years ago. And he said there's going to be two waves. The first wave is going to be holiness unto the Lord. Look what the Lord has been saying to us with a grace message. Huh? We don't have to do it. He's done it already. All that stuff. And then this is a second wave. It's going to be a wave of joy. And it's going to penetrate the darkness. It's going to make a way where there is no way. I've never forgotten that. And that's why I always say, don't stop laughing whatever you do. Keep laughing. If you keep laughing, it makes the devil awfully mad and makes God awfully glad. And when you start laughing, he sends all his dudes from heaven to come and help you. When I was in Rwanda, I might have told you guys this. I'm preaching. I'm sitting there, they're preaching and telling the people to get off their blessed assurance or something like that. I can't remember what. But while I'm preaching, here are these four dudes standing up right up. It was a big church. And these four guys going right up into heaven. And in my preaching, it's like I'm two or three people. You know, I'm preaching the word and it's going. And here I have this picture of these oaks around me. It brought so much confidence in the things that have been happening and what the Lord has taken me into. We know those big dudes are there. And before we nearly had the accident with Anne, not 2 minutes before, I was saying to the Lord, where are my big car guards from Rwanda? I haven't seen them for a long time. And not 2 minutes later, while we're singing that beautiful song there, this car pulled right in front of us. And how we got over, I think we did over the top or around the corner, whatever. But you hear what I'm saying? There's a dimension we need to be open to and all the time preparing ourselves for. Even here, while we're here tonight, I'm very conscious of the presence of God's angels here. It's a new thing. It's upper room, somebody said. These things are happening here, guys. Come on. Chill out. Yeah. Positive and joyful stance. I like that. Like James. Always got a laugh. Eh? Hey, Jamesy. And his good wife. What? Where's that little ho-ho? There it is. John 6:63, very important scripture. It is the Spirit who gives life, not you. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is no help at all, guys. The words I've spoken to you are Spirit and life, the words of Jesus. The words He has spoken to you are Spirit and life. Pick up that Spirit, pick up that life, and it's always joyful. Sure, we have problems. And let me tell you, you know the little foxes? I told you last week about the little foxes, how they came. At about 10:15 last night, I thought, well, let me just go through all my notes. Had my computer with me. Notes gone. This presentation I got now, I did this afternoon. Everything. I did everything with my knowledge to try and find out where that ho-ho got to. Now, I've got a minister today. My attitude is, wants to go out the window. I want to scream and shout and throw the computer through the window. That was a thought, but I buried that thought, brought back. No, that, you don't do that. But you hear what I'm trying to say? The reality of it. And then so I dealt with it. I said, no ways, I'm going to go to sleep. I didn't have such a good sleep because I probably didn't do what I'm saying to you. I was a bit concerned and worried about it. But the next morning I said, no, I'm going to have a jewel today. And we took our time. We came back. I did the whole thing, did the stuff that I could remember. There was some other stuff too which were important, but that's neither here nor there. The Spirit knows what needs to happen. But you see, you deal with it and you carry on. Don't sit harping on your problem. Deal with your problem, carry on. If you've got no money in your pocket now and you're worried about the bills at the end of the month, wait till the end of the month, have a jewel today. Hear me? That doesn't mean to say you're not taking responsibility. You are taking responsibility. Jesus said, every day is enough problems of its own without worrying about tomorrow. Deal with today. Deal with what the Holy Spirit's saying to you today. Walk in the revelation and the prophetic word that He gives you in the morning. Realize you are a prophetic person, therefore you have a prophetic word. It's dwelling in your heart. You just need to start releasing it. Amen. And we finished there. Wow-wee. Now let me just take you through some things, and then we'll go do other things. Is it okay? James, how are we for time? You guys came in late, so you've got 15. You've got to give me 15 minutes, eh? This is your homework I'm going to give you now. You can read the prophet's job description if you want to. It's notes that I've taken over the years. If you're serious about the prophetic ministry, at the end of the course, you need to take my email address, which is the bottom of your notes there, and I'll send you my whole manual, which is this manual here. It's all the notes that I've put together over the years, with all the books you need to read. It's a complete thing, and I called it a field guide because I always go out birding and have field guides, and I thought, well, what about a prophetic field guide? So you can take it. You can take it on your computer wherever you go, and you want to know a little bit about what we're talking about here. It's all in there. Some of the quotes I make here are all from here as well. Okay. But it's finding the right one in the right place. So you've got a prophetic job description. Are there six? I've got a couple of things there we'll speak about. Important scriptures I've given you there. Our prophetic foundations. What a prophet is in the Greek and all that sort of thing. That'll help you, and you can see that, and that can speak to you as well. And then on page 9, very important, God's call. Okay, our calling is to build people up, stir people up, and cheer people up. Okay, which is edification. I need to say something else there. Edification, modification. How's that? That's a new word. Hey, you got a new word. Come on, receive it. And encouragement. Okay. Right. Now, if you turn over the page, there's some other statements. But what I want you to do is quickly look at the principles to consider, because I need to put this in. It'll take me 5 minutes, and we'll see how we go from there. And then I'll explain the rest to you. Some principles to go. No one can become a prophet out of his own will. The core prophet is not an open club. No one can pay dues, take training, desire intently to become one. You cannot inherit it or pass it around. You cannot become one by any works of the flesh. The one and only way you become a prophet is by the calling of God. Finish and cry. God, if God has called you to it, but that's His business. We only come to God when God calls, or we do not come at all. We become a prophet by responding in obedience to the call of God. I didn't know anything about the prophetic until it was opened up to me, and somebody said, look at your scriptures. And, you know, when I went in full-time ministry, I looked at the scriptures, and the first one was, you're called as a prophet to the nations. I never saw prophet to the nations. I saw calling. And with the others as well, until somebody revealed it to me. And I haven't got time to give you that testimony now. But anyway, by responding in obedience to the call, there's nothing we can do except relax and hand it over to the Lord. What I'm saying to you, don't try and push this thing. I see too many people in the church, I want to be a prophet. If I may warn you, you're making a grave mistake if you're doing that. You don't want to be a prophet. Really, let God do it. Don't you even try. Guys, you'll come short. I prophesy that over you. I give it to you in writing, you'll come short. You'll have lots of pain, lots of anos and everything. Go with His flow, if I may so. Listen to His word. Now, homework for next week. I would like you to read pages 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. And we'll write to the end. It looks quite a lot, but just speed read it or whatever the case may do. It's we have what God has given us all, what we seek, and what we become. And if you look at it there, how it's laid out, you will see everything is together. I'm always a big one for looking for things like this to try and clarify so we can see a picture. I'm a picture person. I love pictures. God can speak to me out of pictures. And I was in His cathedral yesterday morning in the forest and the birds and everything, and the noise. Anyway, that's another story. Okay. Reg mense. How are we doing for time, James? Yeah, how much time have I got? Another 10 minutes. Yeah. Mr. Christian, is that right? Sorry, what is your name?
Jethro.
Jethro, sorry. Whoops, Jethro. You Christian?
No.
Okay, not a problem. Jethro. In his presence is life, and that's what we're talking about here. And the Lord wants to remind you of that. Okay? You are no longer a slave to your own emotions. Take hold of your redemption. See Jesus mightily flowing from the cross and walk in His pleasure. His pleasure, not your pleasure. As you trust in His goodness and of His presence, you will drink without limit. You'll have that which you ask for. It's all yes in Him. And I had the feeling when I did this 2 weeks ago, the person, which is you, was wanting answers. And he says, it's all yes in Him. Just relax in Him. And I just sense you just need to relax and let the Holy Spirit do what He needs to do in your life. Because you've got a soft heart and you've got a special heart and a special calling from God. And don't hold back for anything. Okay? Not even the devil. So walk out from under the heavy covering that has held you back and into His glory. I sense there was a heaviness that has held you back. It's like being like a carpet. Take it off and let God come and let Him flow into your life. Okay? He has said you need to walk in His peace, not as the world gives, but as He freely pours over you again and again. He reminds you tonight that He is your protector and guide, a very present help in trouble. Amen. There you are, sir. Yeah. This no lacquer, man. Hush, hush, hush. Graham. As I looked at this, your name jumped up. Is there any other Grahams here? There are another Grahams? Okay, you can both take it, but he's the one who was up there. Graham, the just shall live by faith, China. Okay. His presence is all you need. He is the very air you breathe. He is your daily bread, the one who sticks closer than a friend. He is above all else, lives in your heart. Now get desperate for that relationship with your who is your everlasting help, the sun that shines in the darkness, the one who overshadows you with His protection in every way. And He's doing that. He has called you. He has put an anointing in your life. And I just sense the Lord is getting your attention. When I had this and I put it, I just sense there was a calling. And you need to just find that and just rest in that. The just shall live by faith, a powerful, powerful word. Faith in all the cross has done for you. Now pick yourself up and walk in that path He has made for you in your business and family. Okay. Do not rely on your own strength. And understand, standing will get you nowhere fast. Your wife should be standing with you right now, not tickling your back. You are lost without Him. How desperate are you for His presence, His touch, His word? He waits for you to enter in. And is that His wife? No, it's not. Where's His wife? Oh, there you are. Sorry, I'm looking there. I just saw this hand going up there and clapping Him. So anyway, receive that. Anyway. Come now, says Jesus, let us go into counsel together regarding that awesome deposit I've placed deep within your heart. Stop holding back. Allow me in. Trust in all that I've done. I've triumphed for you personally. Be strong and wise and walk together. And that goes for both of you. Amen. You can give it to Him and you can prophesy over Him again. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, yeah. You, sir. Your name?
Jonathan.
A spirit of power and might. You've got the right jersey on. That's probably why I've responded to you. But Okay. When you came in, I noticed you, and I noticed something about you, that your countenance and everything. And I just sense that God wants to do great more than you ever guessed in your life before. And you're young, you're strong, and there's a road ahead that he wants you to take hold of. And he's going to give you the ability to lean upon rocks and push rocks out of the way, not only for yourself, but all the other people around you. Raise a battle cry, he says, he's placed in your mouth. No longer standing back, but pushing forward into his glory, from where he has ordained blessing and peace. Okay? You shall go out with joy, led forth with peace, as a warrior of note in his kingdom. God has called you as a warrior. God's going to put a sword in your mouth and in your hand. Now use that sword and go out into battle for him. Walk by faith, just like the word I gave him. It's for you as well. The just shall live by faith and faith alone. And walk in faith and know that he'll do. Be led forth with peace as a warrior of note. Fear has no part of you, neither does a negative confession. Only his word that'll be like a hammer on an anvil, breaking down everything that has been erased against his kingdom. Now rise up and minister to those many broken hearts that are waiting for the anointing to break every yoke and bring my people out. Go, go, go. The words when I said it was just go, go, go. Okay? And it said release them from their prison of unbelief and doubt. Now God's going to build that up in you. He's going to build that up and the confidence in your God and the confidence in what he wants to do in your life. I've given you a spirit of power and might and wisdom and understanding to apply it in every situation. Rest in me. Be still and hear my voice. I will speak clearly from that position. Come, let us walk together. Be strong, courageous, and firm. Set your mind on me. I've called you to bless. Today I leave my blessing on you, my blessing of peace and rest. Nothing will come near you because I am your protector. How's that? Right. The boss has just walked in, so we've got to watch out. Huh? One more, yeah. So I'm just casting my eyes over it to feel what the Lord does. That's not a spooky thing. It's just things we've got to do, huh? Things we've got to do. Things we've got to do. You cried out just now when I said Graham, and you cried out from a heart that wants more all the time. He says, there are no more chains to the calling I've placed on your life. Now walk in the freedom I gave you at the cross. Be bold and confident in my mighty presence. I give you the ability to face giants and to overcome all enemy. That goes for both of you. Will try to place over your path. You have special angels instructed to take care for you. They watch you day and night. And I sense that you guys need to get away from the past, get away from all those things that have held you back. And you need to break that and together stand together as one united to see that broken and you set free. As you rest in my presence, you will know the right thing to do at all times. Your confidence will be in your relationship with me, and that is growing stronger and stronger. Humility will be a cornerstone that the evil has no weapon for. Ask and you will seek. Seek me in humility in due time, I'll raise you up. No more looking at circumstances, but looking into my loving face. That's the answer to everything that you have, is looking into that loving face. And he says here, I give you a leadership ability in the body. Now step out and study to show yourself approved. A servant's heart you have, and which will make great inroads in my kingdom. Great inroads, but rest in him. Humility, humility, humility. Just rest in him, be patient. God in his time will make a way where there is no. You will be like Joseph as you walk in my authority, and you will bless many with healing and salvation. People will come to you because they will sense my presence through your very intimate relationship. You do not have to do a thing. I have done it all. And I need to emphasize that when I saw that. You don't have to do. You've been trying to do things. Now, I just hear that voice coming from him. Stop it! Okoyo, stop. Whoa, don't do it. Okay? I've done it all. The just shall live in faith. Here it comes out again. Now go. There is power in my name that gives you authority to step out on scorpions and other nasties and ho-hos and so on things. Okay. Amen. Amen. I've got to honor the time, guys. I've taken my 15 minutes that they started late on, so we need to honor the time.